Some big changes on the learner driver rules are being considered by the Environment Minister, Alex Atwood. Here are the changes that it could include: allowing people to apply for a provisional licence before they turn 17. 16-year-olds on the road. What do you think about that? 16-year-olds will be excited. Allowing new test drivers to travel on the motorway at a maximum speed of 70 miles per hour instead of the current 45 miles per hour. I'm just thinking that through myself, actually. So a learner driver on the motorway, intimidating for them, gives them the practice they need, but what's it like for other motorists, and what's it like if they're not very good drivers? And a lower blood alcohol concentration level. Let me know what you think of this. 0845 955 678. That's Stephen Nolan on Twitter. The Minister is with us this morning. Minister, morning to you.
Stephen.
Morning, Alex. Interesting stuff, this. Let's start off with 16-year-olds on the road. What convinces you that they're ready for that?
Well, what I want to do is continue improving road safety. Mindful that there's been another tragic death on the roads in the last 24 hours. Overall, the direction of travel in terms of reducing casualties and fatalities is good. I want to build on that and drive down the number of deaths and injuries. And one of the ways, not the only way, but one of the ways is to recreate the driving test. So what would happen if, rather than getting your provisional license at 17, you got it at 16 and a half, but you couldn't do your test for a year thereafter? What would happen is that people would have the opportunity for a much, much more driver learning experience, and out of that comes better driving, and out of that comes better road safety, and out of that, not only would lives be saved, but insurance premiums could come down. And so that's the argument. Is it time to move to 16 and a half to get your provisional licence, but not be allowed to get your full licence for 9 or 12 months thereafter?
And that's the argument in support of that thesis, but against it would be those people who think of a 16-year-old either in their own home, their son or their daughter, or other 16-year-olds that they know, and they think that they're not even remotely ready for lots of responsibility in life, never mind being behind the wheel of a very dangerous machine.
And it's not 16, it's 16 and a half. At the moment, this is what happens, Stephen. On the day that somebody is 17, they can get the provisional licence. And technically, the day after, they can get their full licence. And I would argue that that approach is potentially more risky to the new driver and other road users than saying to people, you can get your licence at 16 and a half, but you can't do your test for 9 or 12 months thereafter, meaning that there's a 12-month or a 9-month lead-in time where you can develop your driver experience being accompanied by a qualified driver or through a driving school. And the consequence is that when you go out on the road, having passed your test, when you're 17 and 3 months or 17 and a half, you're much fitter than driver that at the moment gets the test a day after their 17th birthday.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong answer in this, is it? No. It's all subjective. But let me move on to the motorways, because I can just see on the phones this morning that that is the most reactive territory. 0845 955 678. And so I'm getting my head around this. Are you talking about drivers who have just passed their test being able to do 70 miles per hour? It's currently 45. Are you talking about these drivers who would be 16 and a half with a provisional licence, still learning to drive, being able to do 70 miles per hour?
Well, this is what I think, Stephen. I think that the evolution, like you go on quite often, even with me, about the weaknesses and failures of the evolution. I want the
evolution. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but let me just correct that. I also go on, and I hope I go on, about the success. I truly believe, and I mean this, and I want to say it again, I truly believe that we have many dedicated, hard-working politicians in Stormont. And for those people that rubbish Stormont, I don't support it in any way, shape or form. I believe in that devolution should mean if it's here in Northern Ireland. It means that any local person listening to this programme should put people like you and anyone else under an immense amount of pressure to deliver for them. Because, Alex, that means they're connecting with politics.
And you don't get any argument from me that ministers and politicians should account and account ever more robustly for what they're not or not doing, or what they are or are not doing.
So let's talk about motorways then.
I believe that we should have a radical edge of government here, informed by best practice and good evidence. That's why the executive, rightly in my view, has already signed off on reducing the alcohol limits so that people who are novice drivers or professional drivers will not be allowed to drive at all with any alcohol in their blood.
Let's talk about motorways.
So let's take the motorways. At the moment, a 17-year-old can pass their test. They can leave the test centre and go on to a motorway having never been there before. Is that sensible?
But they're restricted at 45 miles per hour, aren't they?
So what I'm saying is it time that L drivers should be allowed to go on motorways in a dual control vehicle with a qualified driver instruction so that they have some sense of what it is like rather than coming out of the test centre having passed their test and immediately going on a motorway? And there's a wider argument, and that is that should new drivers, once they're qualified, be allowed to drive at the national speed limit, be it on motorways or be it on other routes? Because the insurance industry in Britain recommends that not for motorways, but for dual carriageways, that people should be entitled to drive in dual carriageways having qualified at the national speed limit, not at 45.
So you are talking, let's step through this. You are talking about a 16 and a half year old being able to drive at 70 miles per hour while still being able to drive, while still learning to drive on a motorway. No. Someone will be with them.
No. There'll be limits upon what an L driver can do on a motorway. The bigger issue...
What are the limits?
If I go down that road...
What should
road,
the limits be?
If I go down the road, Stephen, of saying to my executive colleagues and to the Assembly, do we allow L drivers in a controlled environment going on a motorway, or do we leave newly qualified drivers drive at higher speeds than 45 miles per hour? If I go down that road, it will be because the evidence and science confirms that is actually a safer way
sure.
for even newly qualified drivers
yeah,
to drive
in
circumstances where they've had no previous experience of driving.
I understand all that.
And look, at higher speed.
And look, to be fair, there will be people who will say that actually driving slower on a motorway is even more dangerous
precisely.
Than driving at 70 miles per hour. But you said no there, and I want to just be clear about this. If there is someone else in the car, do you support a learner driver being able to do 70 miles per hour on a motorway?
And I haven't argued that. I have only argued that is it time for a learner driver in a dual control vehicle with a qualified instructor to be able to go on the motorway, not driving at 70. The wider argument is...
Driving at what then?
In my view, it should be at 45. But the wider issue is, do we allow newly qualified drivers...
Okay.
Be it on motorways or dual carriageways, drive at the national speed limit rather than, as you've indicated, driving at 45 miles per hour, which could in itself be a greater risk to road safety than driving at a higher speed. That might be counterintuitive, but some of the evidence internationally suggests that those are the sort of things that we need to get our heads around in order to have greater driver performance, more road safety, and also, and remember this, drive down insurance premiums because the Office of Fair Trading, the Consumer Council, 6 months ago said that premiums in the north, especially in the rural area, were too high. What I've been doing over the last 4 or 5 months is trying to find ways and means, including through the driver training regime, to create less accidents, less compensation, less upfront costs, leading to less insurance.
But you know what, Alex? Because I've been dealing with car insurance since the days I was on City Beat, for goodness sake, 15 years ago, I've been dealing with car insurance premiums on the radio. And it is so frustrating for a decent young person that wants to drive responsibly. It is so frustrating for them. clickbait that they want to create employment for themselves or whatever, that they're being hit with premiums that are in far in excess of anything that they would have to pay anywhere else in the UK. And we talk about devolution, Alex. If you lot actually want to deliver for young people in this country in terms of car insurance premiums, then surely what you need to look at is changing the legislation which allows the claim culture here to be far higher, because the insurance industry says that's why the premiums are far higher. And no matter how many times they say that and they call for the legislation to be looked at, you lot don't do it.
Well, let me deal with that. I didn't offer tea and sympathy over the last 4 or 5 months when your programme and the Consumer Council and others said insurance premiums are too high. I said, what can I, in my responsibility as Environment Minister, as Roads Minister, do? I went and met the insurance industry, the Insurance Association in London. I then brought them over to Belfast, and we continued to have a conversation about what can we do to help create better driving conditions that would lead to road safe or insurance reductions. And I'm looking out my office window at the moment at the Law Society headquarters down near the courts. I've met with the Law Society on the very issue that you're talking about the behaviour of insurance companies when it comes to their management of claims that increases premiums, and the issue with David Ford is responsible that you call about a claims culture. So rather than just say, this is an awful situation, what are we going to do about it? I, with the Law Society, with the insurers and with others, I'm trying to find all the mechanisms, be it through changed driving regime or through dealing with some of the claims issue or through dealing with some of the insurance practices in the north, and all in an effort to deal with the problems you've highlighted very effectively, namely that the premiums here, especially in the rural part of the north, are too high.
Have a listen to a retired police officer who wants to speak to you this morning, Norman Hamill. Morning, Norman.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm just wondering about all this chat about learner drivers getting experience driving on a motorway. If you live in Derry, as I do, how does a learner driver get experience on a motorway? By the time you drive across the Glen Shane Pass to Randallstown to get on the M22 or the M2, your driving lessons would be over. Now, we've been promised a motorway since 1964, but there's absolutely no sign of it, so I'm just wondering, what does a Derry driver do?
And the answer to that is that clearly people who don't have access to a motorway won't necessarily have experience of a motorway, but they could have experience of a dual carriageway. There's dual carriageway up at Crescent Link in Derry. On the water side, I travel it many a time.
You take his point, though. They've been looking at a motorway since 1964, he says.
Yes, but I've no doubt that sooner or later, the issue of the road to Derry will be addressed, just as the road to Oma and Strabane is now getting addressed. But the fact that you don't have a motorway isn't an argument against allowing people on other routes drive at the national speed limit in order to have the experience of driving at higher speeds in order to improve their driver performance, increase road safety and reduce road insurance premiums.
Minister, you can get feedback on the through this programme today. Here's Sammy in Belfast. Morning, Sammy.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, can I just say one thing? Mr. Atwood would like to go into his office and look up a whole lot of things. A learner driver isn't allowed to do 50 to 70 miles an hour on a dual carriageway, for a start. And I would like to propose something to him, if he can hear me.
He can.
Right. And he would like to come out of his wee office sometime to do with road safety and get into my car with me for a couple of hours any morning. I am willing to take him on the any dual carriageway, any motorway, and an R driver is not doing 45 mile an hour. They're doing 70 mile an hour as it is now on the M3, M5, and I see this every day.
Yeah, but to be fair to the minister, he's talking about legislating so that it's legal that they're doing it.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's talking about putting an L driver on a motorway, which is bad enough now, with the drivers that's on it, and allowing a driver to do 45 mile an hour, and all he's going to do is cause problems for normal drivers going back and forward to work.
And you're a former instructor, Sammy, is that right?
I'm a former instructor.
What do you think summer. The net, what do you think, and an examiner?
Yeah.
What do you think the net result would be if these people newly passing their test at 17 are allowed to do 70 in a motorway?
There would be total chaos, many more accidents, and a lot more deaths, Stephen.
Why?
Because they don't have the experience, first of all.
And isn't it more dangerous to drive at 40?
It's more dangerous on a motorway where most people are used to the speed limits at 70, 60, 70. And a person get up the road, I see very little car drivers doing 45 mile an hour on the motorway.
Okay. Sarah in Craigavon. Morning, Sarah.
Morning.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I haven't actually passed my test because I'm a terrible driver. So I think if I had, you know, newly passed my test, the idea of me going on a motorway with no experience is absolutely awful for anyone else on the motorway. I think we should probably make it harder for incompetent drivers to drive, and that includes 16-and-a-half-year-olds, because, you know, I wouldn't like the idea of my son driving if he was 16-and-a-half.
You failed your test recently.
Yes, I failed my test, basically because probably through nerves or whatever. But, yeah, I think we should make it harder for people to, you know, drive. So I think having 16-and-a-half-year-olds, I don't think that's going to lower insurance at all. Maybe if they had a minimum number of lessons that you had to take.
Well, and Minister, you're talking about them being required to have an interim period between 16-and-a-half and when they're actually allowed to get their licence.
Well, what I'm pleased, Stephen, about the last 24 hours is that at least people are now beginning to interrogate the arguments about what's the best approach, and that when I make my announcement in a couple of weeks' time, I will be informed by what I've been hearing over the last 24 hours. But to take some of the points, what if we had a driving training regime where you did have to do a minimum number of hours training before you could do your test, that there was a significant period of 9 or 12 months from when you got your provisional licence to when you got your full licence? What if rather than having an hour plate for a year, you actually had to have an offence-free period for 2 years? What if...
Or what? If you had an offence within the first 2 years, what?
That at the moment, if you have an offence within the first year, there are consequences. If you're a novice driver, what if you extend that and say, if you have an offence within the first 2 years, that your restricted period is for 2 years, then there'll be consequences? What if you have test routes that rather than take people into the leafy parts of South Belfast, actually require people to go into real time, real life, and more hard driving conditions? What if you have national speed limits that apply to restricted drivers rather than these artificial 45 mph. What if you have all of that and other things in order to have a package of measures that on one hand help people to get a licence earlier and have wider driving experience?
So you're suggesting, Minister, one of the things you're suggesting there when you talk about people who are learning to drive, driving in the leafy suburbs, you're suggesting forcing them to go into areas where it's harder to drive.
I won't force anything, but the insurance industry say to me, so this is, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm trying to learn from what the safety experts, what the police, what the insurance industry and what international experience said. They say that if you have test routes that are not just leafy suburbs, but are actually wider driving conditions, then inevitably you build up people's driver experience and they're better drivers as a result.
All right. It's interesting discussion, this. And, of course, younger drivers are at one end of the spectrum. Are you prepared to look at the drivers at the other end of the spectrum in terms of elderly drivers? And should there be new rules for elderly drivers? In other words, should they be forced to resit their test when they get to a certain age?
There's been some publicity about this recently because figures came out about the age profile, the number of people with an age profile of 70 and older that continue to have licences. And I'm not inclined at this stage to do anything in that regard.
Why not?
Are mechanisms in place, for example?
Why not?
Well, I'll give you an example. Already, I get correspondence as roads minister or as DOE minister, Stephen, from MLAs where an older person, on the advice of their doctor, has had their licence withdrawn. And those individuals, in order to demonstrate that they are fit to drive, do actually have to go
off. Yeah, but that takes the doctor to make a proactive step. I'm saying, look, it's not a populist thing for me to say, Minister, but there would be some very decent drivers, of course, over 70. There will be some drivers who, because of their age, they are deteriorating. And we see these people on the roads. And they are unsure. And in the same way that you're saying older, younger people maybe need extra rules built around them, are you seriously saying there shouldn't be extra rules built around elderly people to make us safer?
Well, I look at where the evidence is, Stephen, and the evidence is that 20% of novice drivers, newly qualified drivers, have an accident within 2 years. That's where the critical evidence is, and consequently, I think I have an obligation to try to protect those drivers and protect other road users. There is not the evidence that the person who is 70 or 80, and that includes my parents, that they are a disproportionate threat to road safety.